Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Summer is upon us, and you know what that means, lots of tropical cocktails. So, I will focus for the next couple of months, like I did last summer, on bartenders who specialize in these kinds of drinks, tropical, tiki, etc. What's the etc.? Well, we'll find out over the course of the next couple of months. It's Mo's tropical summer, so get ready for an exotic getaway of the cocktail variety via the Music and Booze with Mo podcast. Oh yes, I'm here to tell you about a girl. Actually, I'm going to have a conversation with a woman. We're going to chat today with Sierra Kirk-Lubke of Halle Pelle in Portland, one of the most top-notch tiki bars in the country. If you haven't been there, like I haven't been there, I hear it's amazing. Anyone I know who's ever been there absolutely adores the place. And Sierra and I had a lovely chat despite being extremely sleep-deprived and having had a lot of cocktails over an extended period of time. So tune in, because we talk about all kinds of like goth rock, New Orleans brass bands, cocktails in the South, cocktails in the Pacific Northwest, and bartending when you're probably not supposed to be bartending. Here's me and Sierra talking about Halle Pelle and much, much more.
I always start with saying, tell everyone who you are.
Okay, I'm Sierra.
You are Sierra, and...
So I work at Halle Pelle.
We're very tired. Right now.
I'm like, there's so many things I could say, but I'm just not really sure what.
I could say, who are you? And you're like, I'm a magnificent creature of
So I bartend at Halle Pelle in Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm.
How long have you been at Halle Pelle?
Just over 5 years. In February, it was 5 years.
How long has Halle Pelle been open?
We had our 6-year anniversary last August. So we're coming up on 7 years.
Wow. So you've almost been since the beginning. Mm-hmm. What is your bartending, cocktailing history, etc., before that?
I started bartending when I was 16, probably illegally, at a country club in Louisiana, and then I started bartending full-time at House of Blues in 2000, I would say.
House of Blues in Louisiana?
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. we had a bit of this conversation because I know when I jacks, I know Rio.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, absolutely. So I've always worked at, until I moved to Portland, I'd always worked in music venues. Always worked in music venues.
What's it like working in a music venue as opposed to a proper cocktail bar? Granted, it's a tiki cocktail, but I mean, because your music venues, people are like, give me some beer, give me some this, but.
I like the high volume aspect of the music venue. I love working when there's bands playing and you get to kind of experience a huge diversity of people because, you know, depending on who the band is, depends. Depending on who the band is depends on the crowd. And so because of that, you know, working at the House of Blues for so long, I was kind of exposed to all kinds of music and all kinds of people I would have never encountered otherwise. So I think it's a really cool experience, and I really like it.
Do you have any particular favorites you remember from that era? Like shows that were working?
Yeah, I mean, I saw Peter Murphy. I saw Portishead. I saw Sigur Rós. Nick Cave, and this is a 1,000-person venue, Slayer, that was always crazy. You know, and then, of course, all the New Orleans standards, like Dr. John, Willie Nelson, or he's not a New Orleans standard, but still amazing.
But it's South, yeah.
You know.
It's Austin, but it's, six hours away?
The Neville Brothers, you know, just, like, all of those big-name bands. And then I was working there during, like, the kind of swing revival, so, you know, you'd have the Brian Setzer Orchestra and, you know, Scroll Net Zippers and all those bands. So that was always super fun. Just all kinds of stuff, you know. I saw hundreds of shows. I wish I would have kept track of them or kept the calendars.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously if you're working in the space, then there's no way you can keep track because it was a job. It was a job. And the benefit was while the band was playing, it was probably a little slower for you so you could actually watch for a minute.
Right. Yeah, it was really, I saw some pretty amazing shows there. Yeah. That Portishead was probably one of the, like...
That was when they got back together or whatever.
No, that was during...
Was it actually...
It was like when they were... Yeah, because it was the early... It was like
so it was the second album. Because that's when they did that Rosemead, New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Her voice is astronomical.
Yeah, it was a crazy show. I mean, it was dead quiet. Everybody was just like, you know, just blown away.
I actually used to work in a radio station in the Bay Area, and I had a colleague there who lived in London when they first started. And used to work with both of them because they were watch repair people.
Oh, that's fascinating. That doesn't surprise me at all. She seemed very, like, kind of, like...
She's kind of introverted.
Yeah, very introverted.
It's like she's extremely talented, but totally introverted.
Yeah.
So he had the mechanical side, but he was the music one, and he conned her into singing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, you have a beautiful voice, let's do the singing and
everything.
But her thing was she liked to sit there and fix watches.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
It's a very intricate kind of work. Very interesting.
That's really
interesting. So you were 16 when you started bartending.
Yeah. My first bartending job. Yeah.
You just were doing it. And
I was just working in a country club, and, you know, we would wait tables during the day and the summer, and then the old ladies would come in, they would wait till noon, and they would want their old fashions and their Manhattans at the stroke of noon and, you know, their martinis, and then they would sit there and drink all day long and then drive home. It was like a private country club, so it was a gated community, and they would drive home really slowly in their giant cars, you know.
Because they weren't encountering other people besides
they were just in the within the neighborhood.
Well, let me ask you a question then. I had a friend who worked at a bar like that where it was a certain kind of clientele and older. And she said, you know, one of my favorite women who came in was in her 80s. She always wanted her martinis. But after her third martini, I just started pouring water in there. I was like, listen, you're okay. So did you have that kind of tact with these folks? You knew them for a while. You're like, they're not going to notice anymore.
I mean, I was 16. I didn't have any thoughts like that. I was mostly annoyed that they could never get my name right. And
did they call you?
They called me Tiara. They were like, her name is...
Ciara?
No, Tiara. They would always be like, her name is Tiara, like the crown that you wear on your head. And I mean, you just can't, you can only correct people so
Ciara.
Many times.
Ciara. Yeah.
You know, they were all like the wives or widows of like these big, you know, oil execs. Mm. So they, you know, old Louisiana money. You know, they were all like four feet tall, you know, driving these gigantic cars.
The hair was another
cars.
2 feet.
Right, you know. It was my first exposure to making cocktails, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't really make I went on to do many other things between then and, like, getting back into the, you know, service
industry. So when did you start getting into cocktails? I mean, now you make amazing, very elaborate,
sure,
thought-out cocktails.
Right. I mean, bartending in New Orleans, you were just kind of expected to know a lot of the standards that people consider to be classic cocktails. Mm-hmm. I mean, New Orleans is, some argue, the birthplace of the cocktail. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even when I was working at neighborhood bars or, you know, bars like the House of Blues, I had to make, you know, Manhattans and Old Fashions and Martinis and Vespers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That was just standard, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. We maybe weren't making them properly, but we were making them. And, you know, and then, like, I went on to work at some other neighborhood bars that, you know, there certainly wasn't as much demand for that kind of thing. But when I moved to Portland, I really realized I had to get more into craft because I was having a hard time finding a job. And the I didn't want to put in the time that it takes to get a job at a neighborhood dive bar in another city. You know, I didn't want to spend hours sitting at the bar getting to know everybody. I was kind of over that phase of my life. And I didn't have to do that in New Orleans because I grew up there and I knew everyone. You know, but in Portland, like, getting a job at a place like that, you had to know people. And so getting a job at a craft bar was a little bit easier because, you know, I could start as a server, and then I had so much bartending experience, I was able to naturally work my way in. And so I started working exclusively in craft when I moved to Portland.
Okay. And there was a big community for that, so you could actually...
Right, so I could go to, like, Bar Guild meetings and, mm-hmm. like, make connections that didn't involve me sitting at a bar till 3 in the morning, you know.
Yeah, drinking. Right.
You know, I just didn't want to do that kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah. So where did you start when you got to Portland?
The first job that I care to mention is the Pope House. It was a bourbon bar in an old Queen Anne house. It's really cool, beautiful collection of bourbon and, you know, making all the bourbon standards.
Yeah.
Boulevardiers and Vouquerets and Sazeracs and all that kind of stuff.
And which also are classics in New Orleans because
exactly.
they're all New Orleans drinks.
So. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but after 4 years of that, I was kind of just getting a little bit bored. It was the same stuff all the time. The neighborhood wasn't like, it was right by the Timbers Stadium, and it was just like the big soccer crowd. So even though it was the nice craft cocktail bar, we would just get inundated on the weekends with, like, craziness. And, you know, I'm like hand crushing ice ferment juleps and stuff, a billion people crowded around my bar, and I just kind of was like, I don't know, I've been in the industry so long, I just wanted to try something different, and tiki was definitely different. And
I was gonna say, what took you that path? I mean, I think for bartenders, I know years ago a good friend of mine in New York had said, you know, tiki files are like the Trekkies of the cocktail world, and that was at the start of sort of this current phase of the revival. I think it's they're such lovely layered drinks.
Sure. For me, it was more like, you know, I've gone to tiki bars. My husband's like super into like rockabilly music and stuff like that. So
you kind of knew that subculture.
I knew that subculture, and the tiki scene was just like a really fun fit because I already had a drawer full of hair flowers. I got to wear these like.
I've always had hair flowers as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you know, like I got to wear these insane outfits and make these like you said, beautiful elaborate cocktails that I hadn't made at the time. So it was exciting and new, and it, you know, and it's like complex, and being from a high volume background, being to do that high volume makes you feel kind of like a badass, you know, because like, we don't batch anything at Hale Pele, so we're just building everything from scratch, and we're very busy, and it's, we have 65 to 70 drinks on the menu, so it's just like bonkers.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Jesus, that's a lot of fucking drinks.
Yeah, I think because I have to think about this. I might be like, I might be overstating it, but I know that we have
it's still a lot of drinks.
So we have a drinks card that has, I want to say, between 50 and 55 drinks on it. Mm-hmm. And then if you add in the seasonal specials, which rotate, which is another, like, you know, 7 drinks, and then you add in the non-alcoholic drinks, which are also very elaborate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're looking at about, at least, okay, let's say bare minimum 60 drinks on the menu.
That's amazing. I actually have been very pleased because I was in Paris 2 years ago, and I was staying with a friend of mine for a month who was there. I was only there for a week. She was there for a month. And she's been sober 27 years now. And before I got there, she asked me what I wanted to do. And I'm like, listen, you know I want to go to all these cocktail bars. You don't have to come with me, especially not on your sober anniversary.
Right.
And she said, listen, you go to, like, nice bars and fancy bars. They'll have something for me.
Yeah.
Whenever we went to the tiki bars, she was like, take me to all your tiki bars. The drinks here are so fun for me because they're beautiful, they're elaborate, the juices are fantastic. So I kind of look how we're in a phase right now where the mocktail or the non-alcoholic cocktail is definitely making a presence in menus, and I feel like tiki's been on the forefront of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have 2 mocktails on the menu. I wanted to do a mocktail like version of the zombie or the jet pilot.
Oh wow.
And it's called The Trouble in the High Seas, and it's it's got falernum, because we do a falernum syrup. It's not falernum liqueur, obviously. Falernum and cinnamon, grapefruit, Some other citrus, some pineapple, some bitters, which, you know, arguably does have alcohol, but it's a dash, you know. And it's so delicious. And then, like, one of my regulars was like, let's try it with alcohol. And I was like, well, it'll just taste like a zombie or a death hut, but it doesn't. It's so delicious.
The Polynesian is doing that, too. They'll give you a shot with them. Yeah, non-alcoholic if you decide you want to.
Yeah, and it's super fun, and we make a little garnish that's like a tippy boat, you know.
Oh, fun.
And then I have another one called the Kiss My Kukui that's, you know, really, really delicious. It's like mint and it's blended and pineapple and it's super refreshing, but it's got a little hint of spice. And, you know, people are so excited that they get to get this, like, really crazy green blended drink with, you know, an orchid and all this kind of stuff.
You don't even care about the booze sometimes.
Yeah, no. It's
the presentation, and Tiki is so on top of the presentation.
Yeah, for sure.
So have you ever had the chance to name cocktails after songs ever? I mean, because you have rich musical history.
I currently have a drink on the menu called the La Isla Bonita.
Pardon?
The La Isla Bonita. I've had a ton of drinks, and I had the Bitter Inn, which is a placebo song. Mm-hmm. I've had La Mer, which is, classic French, you know, mm-hmm. Edith Piaf.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think. Like, I often will name things after song lyrics.
I love that. Because if somebody gets it.
Yeah, I mean, in my phone, I just have like a list of songs and song lyrics, and you know, I'll be listening to a song and I'll be like, oh, this would be a cool drink name. This would be a cool drink name, you know. And I just like, we'll be driving. My husband and I go hiking a lot, and we'll be driving out to go hiking, and I will we'll be listening to music in the car, or I'll just be staring off to the space, and I'll just be making in my notes, just adding like. So often I'll just have a drink name before I even come up with a drink.
With the drink.
Yeah.
You come from New Orleans, which is an extremely musical town.
Sure.
So did you ever get to play music yourself?
Oh, no.
No.
No, no.
No DJing, no music? You're just, like, deeply appreciative?
Right, correct.
So the nerd factor is high?
Yeah, I mean, I love music, and I mean, when I was younger, I was in choir and, you know, show choir and all that kind of stuff.
Too.
Yeah, so I did all that, but I just never really had the confidence to, like, sing in public as an adult, and I certainly do not play any instruments.
But what about karaoke?
Oh, no, absolutely not. 100% no karaoke. I will go to karaoke, but I will not do karaoke. I've never done karaoke.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you not have the confidence for the karaoke, or do you just kind of go, you know what, this is just ridiculous?
No, I mean, I appreciate it, but there's no way in hell, no, absolutely not, no.
Well, how about in your car?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll sing at home and in my car. And stuff like that. Yeah, my sister is very musical. My mom sings a lot. My brother's not at all. He's very scientific, but
He's got to be one.
Yeah. My husband used to be a DJ.
Oh, was he really?
He was, yeah.
When you were dating, he was a DJ?
No, it was
before you knew him.
Before I knew him. He lost all of his music in his divorce, so.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's devastating.
Yeah.
Devastating.
Yeah.
No one can take my music
I
away
think
from
his,
me.
I can't remember what his DJ name was. I think it was like DJ Death Pomp, because he had this humongous like pompadour, you know? Like, and he was,
well, he's a rockabilly guy.
Yeah, he was super death rock. Like, you wouldn't know what to look at him because he, you know, he looks very Pacific Northwest. His hair is actually the longest it's ever been. He usually has a little bit of scruff. He, you know, loves Pendleton and, you know, Woolrich and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a dream landscape for him. But, like, his favorite, one of his favorite bands is Alien Sex Fiend, you know? And, like, we've gone to see The Cure together. Nick Cave is like, we have a Nick Cave poster on our bedroom wall, you know? So it's.
I've always said that I would only marry someone who can sing me the ship song by Nick Cave.
Yes.
And so fortunately, I'm marrying someone who can not only sing me the ship song, but can also sing me Love Me by Elvis.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right? I think it's kind of the. I know there are going to be listeners like, wait, she's getting married? It's like, yes, but I've just told you why.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I know, right? You really can't. You can sing Nick Cave and Elvis to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And when Josh and I used to have our iPods, which I still have my old classic iPod, and I'm like really scared something will happen to it because I have so much music on there.
Amazing stuff, yeah.
But he would just like go home from work at night and like look up, like find bands that he thought I would like and then like load them onto my iPod. And that's how I found
he was mixtaping you.
Yeah, yeah. So he would like, you know, like Crystal Castles and Zola Jesus.
Oh my God, I love Zola Jesus.
Yeah,
so much.
You know, he turned me on to Shannon and the Clams, who I'm like super obsessed with right now. And, you know, King Dude and, you know, Chelsea Wolf. Although I think I like Chelsea Wolf more than he does. Drap Majesty.
Is it King Dude or King Tough?
King Dude.
King Dude. I don't know if I know a King Tough. I don't
King
know King Dude.
Dude is like kind of gothy. like bluesy rock, definitely likes Nick Cave. Okay. You know, he's from Seattle. We just saw him perform and it was super awesome.
Tell me what's that like, Lucifer's light. Tell me what's that like, Lucifer's light. Tell me what's that like, Lucifer's light. Lucifer's the light of the world. Tell me what's that sun, Lucifer's the sun. Tell me what's that sun, Lucifer's the sun. Tell me what's that sun, Lucifer's the sun. Lucifer's the sun of the world.
Yeah, he's like definitely like kind of grimy, bluesy, like dark, you know,
like
depressing stuff, which I really like. Like, I have a King Dude radio station, and I have a Drab Majesty. I'm like kind of gothy at heart, and I love, like, when I work out, I listen to like VMV Nation and Covenant and all these like see like synth poppy goth.
There's some drama.
You know, well, it's like they're part of that whole cyber goth scene. Mm-hmm. That I was a cyber goth mm-hmm. for a while. I had like rivets in my hair and I wore new rocks. I still have my new rocks.
I lived in San Francisco for 18 years.
So you know, Yeah.
Someone was wearing rubber at some point.
Yeah, my hands down favorite band that was The Cure, for sure. I like all kinds of music. You know, mm-hmm. I grew up listening to like Cat Stevens and old school. Like,
well, that's what we were saying. You grew up in New Orleans, so everything was in your face. You know? So you can be a goth kid, but at the same time, we were talking about Dr. John. That's the guy that plays in your backyard, which is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And I've always loved that about New Orleans.
Yeah, I miss like just being able to see live music whenever I wanted to, because there's definitely
Portland's a good music town though, but nothing's like New Orleans.
No, Portland is an okay music town in that. I mean, it's a good music town in that any band that's touring comes goes there, which was not the case when I lived in New Orleans. You know, a lot of bands, when they go to like Houston or Atlanta. We went to Atlanta a lot to see shows. You know, now more recently, bigger bands would go through or smaller bands, mm-hmm. but there were a lot of bands that didn't go there that I wanted to see. And, you know, it may have just been very genre specific though.
That's true, yeah.
So I feel like Portland, like, all of the bands go there because it's kind of like a major destination. If you're doing a West Coast tour, you're not going to not go to Portland.
Yeah. But you should also go to New Orleans. It's a major city.
You're right, sure. And I think that probably has changed.
You're like, trust me, I missed stuff I wanted to see.
You know, I don't think there's as many opportunities. Like, if you go out to New Orleans any night of the week, you can find a trad jazz band playing somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, any night of the week. It's, that kind of music is just not readily available in other places. The only place I really kind of encountered that was San Francisco, going to Local Bimbos? Edition. You know, like, we went to Local Edition, like,
three. They do bring in those,
you know,
bands.
They bring in those bands, mm-hmm. and it was free, and it was mm-hmm. great, and you just had to buy a cocktail, and, mm-hmm. you know,
it was a good cocktail.
So yeah, and it was awesome, and you're seeing, like, this, like, full orchestra, big band, and I just love that
kind of
stuff.
San Francisco is good with the retro like that.
Yeah, so I miss that kind of music just being everywhere.
So I think I did have a question here. It is music. So you work in a tiki bar.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume that the music is, I've never been to Halle Pele. It's so on my list. I'm guessing it's probably an exotica.
Yeah, so we're super high tiki. Like, we're not going to be the tiki bar that walk in and we're playing punk rock. Like, we're not, we're...
You guys are dedicated to the...
Dedicated to the experience. And so we listen to, we have a playlist that's a mix of, you know, Martin Denny and I don't know, Les Beck, all the big exotica names, and then we throw in some surf rock and everything like that. And then we have like some jazz and just random, like, you know.
Have you picked anything up from that? Because it was probably when you started working and it's somewhat new to you.
No? I mean, I had heard that. I had heard all that music before. Yeah, because I always have had like a broad taste of music, and so I had already experienced a lot of those bands.
Have you heard the stories of Throbbing Gristle when they would tour? The music they would play before they would go on stage was generally Martin Denny or Arthur Lyman.
And
I remember when I learned that, and learned that there was this connection between the death metal scene and exotica, and when I broke it down almost in a scientific way, it made sense to me.
I mean, there's very few types of music that I'm just like, you know, that I don't like. I mean, there's a couple of things. Like, I really can't stand that kind of jazz, which is just like very
Too smooth?
Well, it's not too smooth. It's like, where it's like, you know, random jarring flute followed by like 20-minute percussion. I don't know the term for it specifically, but it is like, it's
but
just,
that bothers you.
It really annoys the crap out of me. I don't really care for new country either. Like, I like new country artists that are doing country in a traditional style.
Like a Sturgill Simpson kind of way.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I love Sturgill Simpson. Yep. He's so amazing. But like, you know, I'm not super into the pop country stuff. But, you know, I mean, I admit, like, I'll listen to Top 40 radio on my car because I used to do jazzercise, and like you got inundated with Top 40.
Okay. Yeah. My mom was the fourth jazzercise instructor in this country.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because I grew up in Northern, or sorry, in North County, Encinitas, Carlsbad, which is where it was birthed.
Oh, yeah.
Like 10 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
So I knew Judy Shepherd Missett personally.
That is crazy.
As a kid.
That's crazy. Yeah. I still do some of the routines at my house, but I can't do jazzercise anymore because it's too hard on my knees. Yeah, as a bartender. Yeah. I like have runner's knee now because of doing jazzercise.
So let me ask you, if you, okay, let's put you in your dream bar. It's your bar. It's easy. You can run it. What are you listening to? What drinks are you serving? What are you listening to?
I mean,
because you know it's a whole package, obviously.
Right. I mean, it really would just kind of depend on the crowd at the moment. You know, I used to create like tons of playlists, and I would have Saturday night, Friday at DBA, Friday during dinner. Like, I'd break them down by what was happening. Saturday night, late night, that kind of thing. So it's really hard to say. As much as I love like inserting my personal taste in the environment, I would want to be very crowd aware. You know, like I don't really like it when you go into a bar and like the music is so jarring you can't have a conversation. You know, you're like, what? Yeah. I feel like I'm in a nightclub in Miami. What the hell's going on? Like, at least keep it a little bit quiet. You know, like I feel like I love
well, like, for your work environment then, for you personally, if it was your bar and you wanted the crowd happy and you happy.
I mean, I love, like, the kind of, so 480 is, like, one of my favorite labels, like, you know, Phantom Zymox and Cocteau Twins and all that kind of stuff. So I love the new kind of...
Kristen Hirsch lives in my hometown now.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, that's awesome.
I've met her at the beach.
Oh, my God.
I know,
that's
it's
amazing.
Insane.
You know, so, yes. So I love that kind of, the new movement of the, like, John Mouse and Drab Majesty, who I've mentioned several times. You know, I love that kind of new dark wave. I mean, my husband knows all the musical terms so much better than I do, but, you know, like,
the kind of, it's sort of like a new goth, but it's synthy.
New goth, and it's a little synthy, and it's surprisingly listenable in a lot of environments. So I think stuff like that, and then I would definitely mix in. I love traditional jazz and like kind of the big band swing music. Mm-hmm. I would have.
That's just in your blood.
Yeah, I had a whole playlist of. Oh my God, what the heck is his name? It's like a very famous big band.
Old school or recent?
Old school.
Old school, like a Dizzy Gillespie kind of thing? Duke Ellington?
Yeah, that kind of thing. So I had the Duke Ellington Nutcracker album is one of my favorite Christmas albums ever. It's so good.
We listen to it
like every year. It's so awesome.
See, my family listens to ABBA.
Oh, that's cool. And I love ABBA.
Decorate our Christmas tree too.
I watched on the plane to my husband and I went to Lisbon this year, and on the plane I watched Mamma Mia 1 and 2, and my husband's like,
I haven't seen 2 yet.
He's like, are you crying? I was like, shut up, they're singing Fernando, I don't want to hear it. And I had to have admittedly like probably 17 bottles of wine because I was wearing a full-length leopard print dress, and so the flight attendants were like, you guys are fabulous, have more wine. And I was like, that wine glass is this full. I was like, this is too much wine right now.
Since you did choir and love ABBA, I can tell you a story that you will appreciate especially, in that my mom is from South America, my dad's the white guy. We grew up listening to a lot of ABBA, and my mom was always like, they can sing in many languages. It was a thing. But I sang in the choir, and my mom brought a tape to our choir teacher and said, you should do this in the choir, and it was I Have a Dream.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we sang that in the choir. So in the first movie, and my mom has since passed away, so my mom passed away the same year that Mamma Mia 1 came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and saw the movie with a girlfriend, and they do I Have a Dream. And I was just bawling.
Yeah.
Bawling for so many reasons. Not only because it was a poignant movie point in the movie, but so many associations. That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll ask you, do you have maybe on your bucket list to go to the ABBA Museum?
My coworker is going to the ABBA Museum during Pride. He's like, I can't think of a more gay thing to do.
Oh,
and I'm so jealous.
That's a good person. Good yeah. person right there. Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah, I'm so excited. He's so stoked
that's
about
so
it.
That's so beautiful. I love it. Yeah. Hopefully one day.
Yeah, it would be really rad. And and I would just love to visit that part of the world as well. I think that would be really awesome.
Yeah, I would love to.
I would definitely have to drag my husband along. I mean, he wants to visit that part of the world. Yeah. The culinary scene is hugely important
insane.
To him.
It's really,
and he really wants to go there. But that person is just like vaping in the lobby.
You can vape wherever, I guess.
You can?
I think so. I've seen other people vaping.
Okay. Well, anyway, sorry.
No, it's all good. Just the things that we see in hotel lobbies in Florida.
Oh, my God.
And now I'm looking outside going, and it's storming again.
Yeah, it looks bonkers out there.
Because Florida.
Yeah.
So then I'll close things out. So if you go home.
Oh, and you wanted to know about cocktails, though, very quickly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so cocktails, I would want to have a very solid originals list, and I would want to have the ability to serve all of the classics. And then I would want to have really basic stuff, like, you know what I really like? Picklebacks. And
I like picklebacks, too.
Yeah.
I like that saline.
Yeah, I would like to have a good, you know, like a good local small craft beer and wine selection. Like, I would just like to be able to make people... I hate it when people are made to feel ashamed if they want a vodka soda, you know, but I want to be able to make them the best vodka soda.
I can't wait to take you to my bar in L.A. because that was our whole impetus. We wanted to be a neighborhood bar with nice cocktails, but you could
Just
like, have a beer.
Josh grew up in Wisconsin, going to bars as a little kid, so our home bar, as it were, is a Wisconsin bar. It's got all the stuff from his grandma's bar in her basement. You know, we both just really appreciate that sense of family and that sense of,
Of community.
Community. And, like, that's one of the reasons I love tiki so much is because I feel like that's really present. It's, like, such an embracing. People don't judge you in the tiki community. I mean, some people, obviously, there's some people that do. But
for the most part,
you can come in.
It's very welcoming.
You know, it's very welcoming. It's all about hospitality. And it's, like, there's so many subcultures that fall into it. I mean, look at me. I'm, like, a total goth. And I'm, like, you know...
I've been told, and I've said this on the podcast before, that the first time I heard it, I'm like, yeah, you're right. Tiki is where subcultures go to retire.
Yeah. Were you at that panel yesterday, the ladies of Tiki? Amy from, she's super sweet. She runs a bar that's right around here.
Oh, Death and Glory.
Death and Glory, yes. That's what I thought it was called, but I didn't want to say it. But she's like, they were like, why Tiki? And she's like, that's where old punks go to die.
Yeah. You've met punks, you've met goths, you've met rockabilly, you've met, like, everybody's there. Everybody's there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And but then also there are young kids that are coming through too, the 20-somethings that are coming through because they're like, this is fun, and they appreciate the quality of the drinks that you'll get. They appreciate the kind of, I think it is that non-judgy thing that does purvey it, and the kids today,
right,
they're much better about that.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Than I think some grown-ups are and everything. But actually, you kind of took me to, I know I'm scared of the rain out there right now.
I know.
You kind of took me to where I was going to go, which is when you go home and you have a drink, when you go home and you listen to music, what is that? What is your home pairing? Now, a lot of bartenders I know go home and they're like, I don't even drink anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I usually...
But you guys have a home bar.
Yeah, I drink typically just on the weekends, on my days off. It kind of depends who's DJing. My husband and I, we played darts a lot in the basement. And,
you really have a home bar. You play darts, have a drink, and listen to music.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
So he really loves Neil Young.
And
actually, when he was little, his choir did that whole, I think it's after the Gold Rush album.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they were in third grade or something, doing lying in a burned out basement. Like, and they had to change it from getting stoned to being happy or something. But anyway, he always tells you that story, and I'm like, what? But anyway.
Churches are good that way.
But we do a thing where we'll, just have our Spotify playlist up, and then we'll get to just pick a song. So it'll go from Tom Petty to V&V Nation to Neil Young, back to Tom Petty, typically. And we'll have, dance parties and so it just depends. I always have music on, though, and it's always either the jazz or the classical station.
And what are you drinking?
Usually that's during the day, so coffee. But at night, I usually drink wine at home. I love wine, and then I do a lot of, Holy Toledo. A lot of like Amaro and soda. And, and you know, like very, I like low proof.
Yeah, I was going to say, the low proof stuff is nice to kind of go with everything.
I don't like making cocktails at home unless it's something stirred, because I don't have the nice bar set up at my house. I don't have like the ice well
and
all that.
You can relax. You're at home.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So. All right, so how can people find you on the social media, or you just want to send them to the bar,
sure,
et cetera, et cetera?
So Halle Pele is on Instagram under Halle Pele. And then, of course, on Facebook. I'm on Instagram as well. If you do decide to follow me, it's nothing but hiking photos. And occasionally pictures of my cat or my husband.
I'm a total cat person,
yeah,
so I'm down.
I'm really bad about posting anything cocktail-related. I probably should be better about that, but it's Swandive 23.
Swandive 23?
Yeah.
There we go.
So,
you know what? There has to be something outside of cocktails. And sometimes it's nature, and sometimes it's fur babies.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I'm a big fan of any fur baby. So,
yeah.
And in fact, I have friends that are exceptionally furry, and they're my babies, too.
Yeah, our cat is really sweet. She's 18.
I had one that died at 22.
I know. I'm like,
they can stick around.
Yeah, she's real smelly. She's so cute, though. It's the food. You have to feed them this gross food when they get older. I'm like, oh. We're like, we call her Princess Pelican. We're like, hey, Princess Pelican, get out of here, because she'll just lay on your face and meow. And you're like, oh, why?
So on that note, I think what I might take away is, go to Halle Pele, find
Absolutely.
Sierra, have a lovely drink,
yes.
And then when you get home, listen to The Cure.
Absolutely.
We're down.
100%.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So there you have it, Sierra from Halle Pele. Go visit her if you're ever in the Portland area, and definitely visit everyone else who is making quality cocktails for you at Halle Pele in Portland, Oregon. That was a very lovely chat, and it's left me wanting to go listen to some Bauhaus, which is exactly where you want to go when you talk about tiki, right? Goth tiki, it's a thing. Thanks so much, Sierra, for sitting and chatting with me. And everybody go follow the Instagram and all that kind of stuff. And make sure you check out the Facebook page for Sierra's very, very moody and lovely playlist. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street, in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com, and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.